Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to present these truths. Lord, we thank you for all those that can listen in, can tune into the service. Lord, we pray you'll be with each and every one of them. We ask you, Lord, you'd continue to show yourself strong in our midst. We pray, God, that you'd keep each and every member of the church and friend and family safe from harm's way. Lord, we pray that you would minimize the impact of COVID-19, Lord, that not just for us, but for our country, for the world, that you would save lives, Lord. We ask you to be with all those that are in harm's way day after day and providing service on the front lines to those that are in need and that are sick, that are in the hospitals. Lord, we pray you'd keep them safe. We thank you for them and the time and the training they've had and the time they've dedicated to make people comfortable and to give them the medical aid that they need. We pray that you'd be with them. We ask you this morning that you'd speak to our hearts as we get into the Word of God, as we turn our minds towards the Scriptures, that, Lord, you would stir us and feed us from your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are several texts listed there. Each one of those kind of correlates with one of the points that we're going to be looking at. But I'll tell you what, if there's any command in the Word of God that at times seems impossible to obey, it is to rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And you say rejoice always. Sometimes I feel like rejoicing and sometimes I don't. And sadly, there's a lot of times for us that we don't feel like rejoicing. And like when you get out of bed in the morning. I'm just not a real morning person, you know, and I haven't had any Mountain Dew in like 6.5, 7 months. So I'm in rough shape. Yesterday I sat down for dinner. And it was Friday night, sat down for dinner with the family, and Mary says, do you want tea, or, you know, do you want a brisk, or what do you want? And I said, yeah, tea. I said, what I want is a Mountain Dew. And Andrew and Timothy and Alicia, every one of them had a Mountain Dew sitting on the table there, all the way. I'm like, man, you kids are killing me, you know, making this so hard. But, you know, sometimes if it's coffee for you, I don't know, you get up in the morning, you don't really feel like talking to anybody yet, but there, you know, we can and should rejoice, even though at times we feel like we don't feel like it. There's times in our lives when we're grief-stricken, we're faced with tragedy, times when things around us are going so poorly that we feel we have no reason to rejoice. The secret to maintaining a consistent, rejoicing heart is knowing how to find a reason to rejoice when it looks like there isn't one. When it looks like there isn't one. Because there is one. It's just at times our minds and our focus gets so narrow or so specific that we miss what it is that we should be rejoicing about. So first of all, if you feel like there's not something to rejoice about, let me encourage you to remember a reason. Remember a reason. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He says, I stir up your minds. I stirred it up by way of remembrance. You know, when we remember things, we can get stirred up. There's sometimes something happened in your past. It may have been 6 months ago. It might have been 3, 4 years ago. But it really irritated you. And if you spend a little time thinking about it, you'll get stirred up. You get angry all over again. Or you could spend some time and think about, you know, maybe a family vacation that you had in the past, or maybe an event that took place in your life and the joy that came into your heart during that time. You look back at when one of your children were born, or you look back at the day that you got married. Or that could be good or bad. I don't know. They said that the shortest sentence in all the world is also the longest. I do. You'll let that sink in. So I don't know for what event in past history might bring you the greatest amount of joy, but you think back to those things and you remember them. You stir it up in your mind and dwell upon that. If you have no present blessing, you can always remember a past blessing. Right. Say, man, I got nothing to be happy about today. But what about yesterday? What about the day before? What about last month? Has anything ever gone right for you? Has anything ever blessed you? Has God ever been good to you? Amen. If we're not careful, we develop a what have you done for me lately attitude with God. What have you done for me lately? We've all had that friend that kind of comes around all the time. You know, he seems like he always has a need. It's just something small here or there or whatever. And of course, we're glad to help him. But, you know, in your mind, sometimes you look at it and you think, wait a minute. When's the last time you did something for me? You know, it's like my sister growing up. She always forgot her wallet everywhere we went. We went to eat, didn't matter. We stopped at the store. She needed gas in her car. Seemed like she never had her wallet, you know. But you think, what have you done for me lately, recently? We got to be careful we don't get that spirit with God. Because it hasn't been 24 hours or 48 hours in our mind where we think, man, when is the last time God actually blessed me? But listen, can you recall some past blessings? Can you stir up your heart and your mind thinking about and remembering what God has done for you? Have you experienced any answered prayers? I'll tell you, if we had people here, we could give testimony and just go around the room and say, tell me about an answered prayer God did for you, something he's done. Has he met any needs in your life? Have you experienced any blessings that you can praise God for? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Amen. Name them one by one. The problem is we don't see the blessings because we're too focused on the burden. We're allowing that burden to block out everything. I put my hand right here, and all I see is my hand. There's a whole room, but all I see is this, because I'm focused on that. And we got to be careful we don't get too focused on the burden. We have burdens. We have trials, and they're part of our life, and we deal with that. And I'm going to be talking about that in the morning service this morning. But listen, we can't focus on that. We've got to look at the blessings. If you have nothing else, you can always remember the day of your salvation. Amen. Can always remember the day of your salvation, thinking about that day, about that hour. Did you have a friend that cared enough to share the truth with you? Did you have a church that maybe came by or brought the truth to you? Do you think back and remember the people that were there and those that expressed their love for you and shared the truth of God with you, and you were able to trust Jesus as your Savior? If everything else in life is bad, at least you know that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. You know that one day you're going to be in glory. Sharing the memories of God's goodness and His provision builds your faith, and it builds the faith of those around you. That's why we have testimony times on Sunday night, because it builds your faith. To experience, people get to share what God's doing in their life. And certainly something that I really miss at this time when we can't get together, when we can't have church. I miss being able to share what God's doing, share the blessings. And some of those things get sent to me via text, and I praise God for that, the communication from the church family. And they let me know what God's doing and the miraculous things that God has done for them. You know, your kids should know your testimony. Amen. What a sad thing. And I've actually been there at the funeral of a family, and they say, I don't know if Dad was saved. I don't know if Mom was saved. Listen, your kids ought to know your testimony. You ought to share it enough. You ought to talk about what God did for you enough and remember the day that God did this, and this is where I was, and this is what happened. And I remember the conviction of God on my heart, and I knelt, or I sat with the pastor, or I was at my home, or I was down at the altar. I mean, your kids ought to know your testimony better than their own testimony. Amen. They ought to, pastor comes to them and says, hey, is your dad saved? Oh, yeah, he's saved. It was in 1929, he was standing in the auditorium and had purple carpet. And I mean, they ought to be able to tell everything about your testimony. Amen. You ought to talk about what God's done for you. Stir up your mind in remembrance. In Joshua chapter 4, God told them to set up a memorial to remember what God did. Remembering what God did, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. Sharing what God's done in your life is good for you, but it's good for other people as well. I'll tell you what, if you have nothing else, you always can remember your salvation. Remember a reason. If you got a bad memory like me, maybe you can't remember a reason, but if you can't remember a reason, you can always borrow a reason. You can borrow a reason from somebody else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 26, it says, And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Hey, somebody else has a blessing, you can rejoice with them. You say, well, I don't have anything good going on. What you got going on? Oh, praise God, I can rejoice with you. You can rejoice with somebody else. The Bible tells us to do that. Rejoice with them that rejoice. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, a mature believer is able to rejoice when other people are blessed. A mature believer is able to rejoice when other people are blessed. Maybe there's nothing rejoice-worthy happening in your life right now. What about those around you? Is God blessing a brother or sister, a family member? And the question is, are you mature enough to rejoice with them? You know, somebody in the church gets a new car. Oh, praise God, brother. Man, I'm happy for you. That's awesome. Let me check it out. Let me come and see it. Man, that's great. I'm excited for you that God blessed you with that. Now, we're excited for them if they get, you know, a 12-year-old Ford Taurus. Amen, brother. Good for you. But what about if God blesses them with the car that you wanted? What? Lord, that's not fair. They work at McDonald's. How can they buy that car? That's not fair. I've been faithfully working, and Lord, I'm trying to do what's right, and all this time, and I'm still driving this old jalopy. Hey, that's not the spirit we ought to have. It's not the spirit we ought to have. Can you rejoice with them that rejoice? Hey, what if God blesses somebody with children? It's not too hard if God's already given you children, but I've known people that wanted children really bad. That was their heartbeat. They wanted children. And God hadn't given them children. And then somebody else in the church God blesses them with a child. They've been married, this family wanted children, been married 6, 7, 8, 10 years. And here's this couple been married 5 months, and they're, oh, we're expecting. That's hard. It takes a mature believer to rejoice with them that rejoice. What about when you're struggling or going through a trial, your needs aren't being met, but you hear that this guy gets a raise? Borrow a reason to rejoice. Maybe you're going through it, but you can rejoice that God is meeting their need. Would you be more happy if they got fired? That's the kind of spirit Christians have sometimes. Instead of really rejoicing with them, they're pleased. They're just living, really, with a spirit of envy and jealousy. You see, a carnal believer only rejoices when they are blessed instead of when others are blessed. Envy, jealousy will eat you from the inside out. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You see, God sees that envious heart. And quite possibly one of the reasons God hasn't blessed you is because you can't rejoice with anybody else that's been blessed. You just want what you want. You can only be happy when something good happens to you instead of rejoicing with others that rejoice. Hey, if you can't remember a reason, you can't borrow a reason, you've always got the option to anticipate a reason. You can anticipate a reason. Because there are things that are coming down the road. There's things that haven't yet happened yet. Romans 12:12, he says, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in what's coming. Hope is to have confidence and faith in something that hasn't happened yet. Confidence and faith. Rejoice in what's coming down the road. Rejoice in what will happen. The confidence we have in God. The faith that we have about something that hasn't happened yet. Maybe you have a loved one that hasn't come to the Lord yet. Maybe you've got somebody that you're praying for that you want to see them saved. You're looking with anticipation, with joy about the day when they trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter who's wayward, who's away from God, and you're looking for the day when they come back to God. You're praying and earnestly in faith, believing God's going to do something, and you're looking with anticipation, with joy at the day when they return as the prodigal of old. Do you have anything to look forward to? You got anything coming down the road that you can... You know, half the fun of a vacation is anticipation. It's looking forward to it. It's planning and thinking about what you're going to do and where you're going to be and where we're going to go and these things. And you're getting ready and you're just looking for that day. And sometimes if you anticipate too much, the anticipation was more enjoyable than the vacation. You get there and you're like, well, it was kind of a letdown. I was looking forward to this for years. And I got there and found out it really wasn't all that much. You know, have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced that? You kind of, somebody told you about this thing, and man, you got to do this. This is amazing. And you finally get the chance. You've been anticipating it so long, you're a little let down. Yeah. Listen, beloved, when we anticipate what God's doing, you'll never be let down. Amen. Every believer should be looking forward to the rapture. Amen. Oh, we haven't experienced it yet, but we have hope. That's faith. That's confidence that the day is coming. We can rejoice. And there's been many times that I've thought about anticipating the rapture. When it's going to come. What's it going to be like? I mean, you know I like heights. I like being up high. It's kind of fun. A couple people asked me last week, like, were you scared being up there on the scaffold? I was like, no, that didn't bother me. You know, I mean, I enjoy being up high. And I just think about the day when we're caught up together in the clouds. Are we going to be able to, are we just going to like fly like, or I think it's going to happen so fast we're not going to be able to enjoy it. I mean, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds. It's going to be like, we're there. You know, it's like Odin, our dog. Odin, you know, you have a little doggy treat and Odin, he'll sit there. I mean, he'll just sit there and he'll put up his paw. He'll change and put up his other paw. He'll lay down. He'll roll over. And he's sitting there looking at you just waiting. And you throw it up in the air. And he jumps. And he grabs it. And before his feet hit the ground, it's gone. I mean, he just... Oh, it's like it goes down all in one bite. Just gone. And then he's looking at you again. You're like, you didn't even get to enjoy that. I mean, that you waited all that time and bam, it happened. So I don't know if rapture is going to be like that. We're going to just be caught up together in the clouds. But I mean, I've thought about it. Have you thought about that day? The rapture? Man, you can anticipate a reason of joy. Thinking about what's coming down the road and what we're going to be with Jesus someday. Every believer should be looking forward to the rapture. Every believer should be looking forward to heaven. Does it bring joy to your heart to sing the songs about heaven? Bring joy to your heart to think about being there, being restored with the loved ones? There's a song my kids enjoy singing. It goes like this. There's a promised land untouched by men, prepared for the saved and the blessed. A city built four square far away somewhere as a home for the saints to rest. So many have tried, but they cannot describe all the beauties on that bright shore. For it's never entered into the heart of men what the Father has in store. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get the story told of the jasper walls and the gates of pearls and the streets made of pure gold. Even John the Revelator in heavenly visions could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years and still could never tell it all. Thinking about heaven. Hey, if you got nothing else to rejoice about, you can rejoice in anticipation of what God's going to do, about the rapture that's coming, about the day that we're in heaven, about what God can do, what God will do in faith, believing in your life, what God wants to accomplish. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Seeing Jesus. You know, if you can't remember a reason, if you can't borrow a reason, and you can't anticipate a reason, then if all that fails, I mean, if you got no other option, you can always create a reason. you can always create a reason. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17, he says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also ye joy and rejoice with me." He says, my greatest joy is to be offered on the sacrifice of service for your faith. To serve other people. True joy is found in serving others. That's a fact. It goes contrary to what men think. It goes contrary to our own worldly philosophy. We think we got to get to be happy, but really we got to give. It is greater to give than to receive. And that joy of giving has to be a part of our life. Parents, we've got to teach our kids about the joy of giving. About the joy of giving. I mean, don't let them get so consumed just with themselves. Kids, young people should learn it. It's terrible when they're spoiled rotten themselves and don't know any joy unless it's them that are receiving. It's exciting to see a young man or a young woman so thrilled or happy about the gift that they're giving to their mom or dad. Oh, I got this for my dad. I got this for my mom. And you know, that's taught. You do it by taking your kids with you to the store and say, "We're going to buy mom a gift for Mother's Day. It's coming up. We're going to get her something. What should we get, mom? Let's go look." And you go down the aisles and you make a big deal out of it. "We're going to buy this for mom. What about this? You like this? Or what about this? Oh, let's get this." And boy, you could be buying, a green turtle. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be buying anything. It don't matter for them. They're just so excited about giving that gift to mom. They won't be able to keep the secret. Don't tell her. They're going to come in the house and, "We're not supposed to tell you we're buying you a green turtle." You know, I mean, oops. Because they're so excited about giving. They learn it when they're young, but man, what a joy it is. You know, you adults that have been around a while, you know. I mean, it's enjoyable to get a gift and to see the expression of love, but it really is more joy when you get to give to others. Amen. It really is more joy when you get to come and, "Hey, I want to be a blessing to you." That's joy. Happiness in the sacrifice and service of someone else's faith brings true and genuine joy to the heart of the believer. When you can only be happy if someone does for you, then your joy is controlled by someone else. Your joy is controlled by someone else, and you don't want to live that way. We need to be able to have joy when we do for others. Hey, build a list of things that you can do for others. Just have a list and try and do one thing on that list once a month. Try and do something on that list once a week. You know, take your kids. You got kids at home still. Take your kids to visit Ms. Lois. I'll tell you what. You'll brighten Miss Lois' day in such a joy. You'll go there to be a blessing to her, and she'll be a blessing to you. I mean, and your kids will enjoy it. And it's a time of service towards them. And take your kids and go visit Brother Nash. Now, I know you can't right now because of COVID, but you can here in not too far distant future. I mean, you'll make his day. Bring so much joy to his heart and his life. Just take a few minutes of your time, and what a blessing that is. Been several months ago now because of this COVID thing, but I took the whole family over there to see Brother Nash, and we stood there, and the kids all sang songs to him. We let him pick what song he wanted, and we sang for him, you know. Had nurses gathering in the hallway and people coming around listening to the kids singing. It was a great time. It was a lot of fun. Just do something for them. Make a list of things you could do for other people. Listen, the most miserable people in the world are those that live a selfish life. They're miserable. You think, man, they're getting all this stuff, but they're never happy. Because that's not how you're happy. That's not how you have joy. You have joy when you give to others. Can't find a reason to rejoice? Create a reason. Create a reason to rejoice. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, having joy, serving others. My life is not dear to me except that I get to do for others. That's what Paul is saying. To serve others, to do the ministry that God has for me to do. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own little world, that's why we're so discouraged. That's why we're so downhearted. Those that have experienced times of hardship and trial in their life, one of the things I try and do is to get them to do for others. They get so focused on their burden. Say, hey, why don't you take this and go drop it off for Dave and Sue Rodney. Well, that would be a blessing to them. I mean, it's just a few minutes of ministry. But it gets you out of your own little shell for a few minutes. It gets you out of your own little... Yes, we have problems. You know you're not the only one that has problems? Everybody has problems. I know we think it's just us. The devil's out to get us. And God's letting it happen. And we're Job all over again. You know, it's our problem. I mean, it's just us. But everybody has problems. Everybody's dealing with struggles. It just depends on where you plan to focus your mind. What is it you're planning to look at? Hey, you can remember a reason. You can borrow a reason. You can anticipate a reason. And you can create a reason. Ways to rejoice, even when you don't feel like you have something to rejoice about. In previous lessons, we talked about the secret of the Christian life, having faith in the eventual good of all situations, because we know that God said all things work together for good, knowing, having faith in God that they do and they will. God doesn't have to explain it all to us, but we know one day it's going to work out for good. If you rejoice in sorrow while you're going through hard times before you understand God's reason or plan, you'll be glad that you did. Because ultimately, God is in control. So no matter what comes your way, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word, these encouraging thoughts, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom of Brother Ross and giving us these points and things to focus on, thinking about, Lord, you're leading our lives, how we've got to be careful not to be so introspective, thinking about just ourselves, but to focus on others. And these are biblical principles, Lord, that for sure will help us to be able to rejoice in hard times. I ask you, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of the church family, that you'd meet their needs spiritually, physically, keep them healthy. Lord, that you would help us to, even in a time of trial, a time of trouble, to be able to rejoice, to have joy in our heart. Lord, what's the difference between us and somebody that knows not the Lord? Boy, we've got a reason to rejoice, even in the darkest of hours. Lord, we pray you'd help us to remember these things. In Jesus' name, amen.